shot it. I don't know whether it studied music or not, but.
And you like to hear it when you were that
old? Yeah, I like to grow up with it. If you grow up with something, you usually like it pretty well in the way of music. Not what the kids got into. They got into these songs and only got two words to them. And they just keep going over and they don't want to say the words so you can tell what they're saying either.
The two words and you can't even figure them out.
I don't want to hear. But it's got some sort of rhythm and a beat that they like. They like that, just love to hear. I see too many kids sitting down on the radio and just let them turn up and listen to that thing for hours. Well, for me, it's just no music and I can't help it. And I don't like you damn young people because I'm old, but I just don't care if that damn music.
Right.
I love to try to play it, but I couldn't if I wanted to.
If you want.
Yeah, I couldn't if I wanted to. Well, let's see.
Well, that's what Jerry comes in. He wants to make sure that a lot of this old music gets.
That's right. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad to get it today. He told me he wants you to learn it because you're. When he looked at me, I thought he thought maybe I wouldn't want to be around too long. I like country and like stuff. Now, he plays pretty good fiddle. I like.
Oh
him.
Yeah, he's good.
I had the last time that I seen him. I said, "Do you ever make tapes?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Ain't no good." I said, "Well, if you got any, I'd like to buy one of them." He said, "No, he don't put the time to hand me one of them. Let me pay for it." No. Now, he played the fiddle and guitar on that tape, didn't he? Had a good job of it.
Oh, yeah.
But is that him playing that banjo?
Yeah, he's a good banjo player.
Yes, he did. That banjo had a good tune to it. And he played a lot of tunes that I'd never heard before. I've ever seen him get one of them, but that's a good banjo playing and fiddle playing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he played a tune on that fiddle that I've heard that I never could think of. It was up there, that march, what was it? Funny thing, I heard Don Messer play it in a few Olympic Navy fiddles, but I never heard nobody around here play it. But Bob Dawson, you remember him?
Not Bob Dawson.
He's been around Baltimore. He used to be him and Bill Wellington. They come up in the park. What do you call them parties? Teachers get you to school. That's what Bill done when he was up here in Petersburg.
Oh, yeah. Artist in residence.
Yes, right. Well, that was Bob's job.
That's
he
right.
Come, he got coming over on New Creek where we played. He played a fiddle some and he called my brother named Paul Figgins, a good figure caller.
Oh, yeah.
You go get that book to the West Brothers, figure calling.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Bob put together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And he down on Sunday. I'd go to Anita Congo on Pentecost to teach with me. And Bob would come over. He was staying over there up against the mountains at that Tollgate motel. And said, "I'll stop by tomorrow." And he'd come over there. I'd try to play the guitar. I could get played the fiddle. And had a chord that he played.
Mm-hmm.
He sat there about 2 or 3 o'clock before he went home to play. I like nice for him to be around Bob, but I like Bob.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen him
before. I never learned many of last I heard him, he's over in Germany. He went over there and figure calling.
I think he's moved down south somewhere now.
He was down to Carolina the last time I heard of him, then he went over to Germany. But I asked Jeff, I believe I asked Jerry about it. I think Jerry said he was down in the Carolina someplace. Mm-hmm. He had a girlfriend, he called Alice. I don't know, I never seen her. I don't know whether he ever married her or not. Ring's a good sized man, nice for me.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could have been that way.
Is there a strip of ebony on there?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's just.
Oh, let me think, I keep coming down the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Joe, there's an old fiddle. I said it was made out of green apple tree.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to give that fiddle to Jerry, he wouldn't take it. And an old fiddle looked a little. No. No grade to that wood at all. It's maple.
Uh-huh.
But back in them days, that fiddle was repaired back in 1912.
You had that one for a long time?
Oh, well, I didn't have it then. That's the year I was born. And a fellow named Carl C. Everett. He's working the railroad, Silver Plate Railroad, up and around up in Ohio there, I can't think of the name of the place. He played the fiddle, he was a pretty good old fiddle player, Carl C. Everett was. He'd come in here every time in the turkey season, spring and fall, and he'd just practice stage here with us. And I'd play the guitar, he'd play the fiddle, and we'd go around different places and play some music for people. But anyway, he wrote down here along about maybe February and said, an old man up here got a fiddle, he's retired, he made violins, and he's playing an orchestra up in Detroit. And he says he's too old to play, and he wants to sell the fiddle. And he wants to sell somebody will play it. He said, they don't want him to get the fiddle laid down. He said, I thought about you if you'd want it. I said, not to say it, I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't want to buy it to watch it. I said, when you come down the gobbler season, bring it down, I'll look at it. He put it down. And I look at it in a plastic tan case. You know how they were too little for a fiddle, one might say. It didn't fit together good, and I look at it, you know.
Is that this fiddle you're talking about?
The chairman.
Yeah.
I said, why do you want for it? And he had never epileptic fit in study lots of. He said he wants you for $55 to get the case in the boat. I said, I think I'll take it. And I played this fiddle. My brother Tom wouldn't play this fiddle.
He didn't like it?
Oh, he said, take two men to play that fiddle. One whole on the boat. It jumped and dropped. I played before it was loud then for square dance.
Uh-huh.
But then that's one thing when I used to play for square dance, when I was a boy and go to square dance, the thicker caller stood close to the place where the band was. He never had no microphone. He just stood there and called figure. He was yelling people hitting the hardwood floor just like a cattle walking across the bridge.
Right.
Some, you know, how the feet down, not know. But nowadays, you play for square dance, you've got an amplifier and thing on your fiddle, turn it wide open. They just clap their hands and get out of time, and you have to close your eyes, keep the tune in mind.
Right.
Now, that's a different square dance playing.
Right.
Martin, somebody was on a four-wheeler.
Ed, what door he comes from?
I don't know, going in the road.
Well, now, maybe that's Plum or somebody.
I don't know if it's on the floor where they come in that way.
Well, all right, I will. I better quit talking. I'm talking out of turn.
Well, you're talking all right. You're doing good.
Talking heads.
You're doing a good job of it.
Well, what did you do? I've been sitting there for half an hour and I said,
I said, the man's up there. I don't know who he is. He won't go where he's at.
Where are you at?
A car come in yesterday morning. I get ready to go to town. I come back from off the truck and looking about the town. Then come another. I see the pickup starting back up the highway. Martin, she's standing up there at the gate. I said, who is that? I said, I don't know. Who is it? Where are you at? It's starting up on the hill. I hollered at the car. I said, where are you going? Well, he said, I'm checking the electric. I said, boy, you're in the wrong place. Ain't no electric in here.
Checking the electric.
Yeah. He said, well, I've worked for the electric company for 3 years and I've all seen this road down here. He said, it looked like it was used lunch and I thought I'd come up and see if I was missing something. He said, I didn't see no poles on the way up or no wire. I said, there ain't no electric here. He come up there and I talked to him. I said, I know you. He said, thank you for your name. I said, what's your last name? He told me, Southerly. Well, I said, this is Tim Sutherland.
Oh, yeah.
The place of the River Grass. You did? I don't know where it is anymore. No. Yeah, that's him, me. He used to come over when he died. He did dance. He asked me about the guitar played. I said, yeah, I used to try and play. We talked for a good while. Anyway, he said, glad to come up and see where we live. He said, I couldn't go over all this land. He said, you started going all this? I said, we have had it for close on to 200 years. Don't know how much long we'll hold on to. We didn't need all this land. There's a whole army of us boys. And we just worked like you didn't have no sense. My dad and my uncle did too. That was Margaret Daddy and my daddy married two sisters. A whole bunch of us did. And you had to work back in them days, just maybe this. You take it right out of them big hills over there. That'd be grain. Too steep to go run hanging out of grain tree. You ever see grain tree?
Oh, yeah.
Throw around, salt and throw it back, and the fire won't behind the bottom of the straw and make a double band and bound her up, and her up, and shop her up, pick her up, and run through there with that 600-700 bushel wheat.
How much land is around here?
Well, I know we cleaned all of it, but I don't. My nephew bought part of it. We had 1,300 acres.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good land back up over the top, flattened it for nice. We made a lot of hay and kept a lot of cattle. Of course, cattle wasn't worth nothing. Back in them days, we'd sell for $4.50. Big fat cattle. Do you ever play that there Silver Eagle Hornpipe?
Silver Eagle Hornpipe? No.
I think it's in G.
I'm just saying now, it might be better and it might be worse. But back
the 1800s and the 18, along in there 60 and up in there when the, my daddy and my uncle got married up in that age. Why, married a woman to stay with him.
Something to be said for that.
That's right. They went according to the Bible. So that's the part, that's where they're going to live, that's where they're going to live. All done.
Right.
And not easy life at all. Four or five or six kids and not much you might say in the way of vegetables, beans, bacon, beef. And, oh, you could grow anything in the garden. There wasn't no bugs and wasn't no deer. Or it seemed like you could walk around these fields and plant melons, tomatoes, cabbage, anything you wanted to grow and nothing bothered. We can't do that now. We can't even hide the garden.
Because of the critters?
Because of the deer.
The deer.
They jump into them, kill them in there, run the night, sit up all night, sit up three or four nights, never see one. The very 20 minutes you're not there, when you get the garden. A state makes millions of dollars over that. And they tear the fence down. I have to look around the fence, but every once you see it, so the cattle won't get out. They just hit them fences wide open. I don't know whether you can see them or not. Fence down there to the town go out. Do you like deer? Deep?
Huh?
Do you like to eat deer?
I don't hunt, but I've had it a few times.
Yeah. Very good. I need steak. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to try that back part of that thing again, Joe?
Sure, one more time.
We'll start all right then.
Alright.
Want to play a little slower maybe if I can?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Well, you were getting dangerously close.
No, I got a good finger, Joe. I hate that. Man, it's going to be good. Well, it seems like I can't play it, but I'll be more than good. Hello, oh, well, come on in here.
Won't hurt nothing.
Oh, I love you. What?
Well, I hope you don't. I thought you was taping. I didn't want to come in here.
Oh, we got a tape on. Tell us a good one to go on this tape. I told Mark there's somebody out there and I didn't go out.
How you pronounce his last name? I can never think of that.
Milnes?
Milnes?
Milnes.
Milnes.
Just one syllable,
he
Milnes.
He told me that way. I know, I always think of it. Milnes, Milnes.
Yeah.
Milnes.
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 Milnes. I thought about people up more through the call Marlins. And I knew that wasn't it. But that was an odd name for me to get in my mind, because I can't very quick pronounce the name nohow.
It's just Mill with an N.
Milnes.
Milnes.
Milnes. All one syllable.
One syllable.
You've heard Woody Simmons play, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Many a time. Did you ever play in contests?
I played around the front plate for her. Did you know I was turned over for Cumberland died here last well, they called, he had a band he called the Cumberland Rail Splitter.
Maryland Rail Splitter.
Yes, Richard Melvinson, he worked on his glass plant someplace. He had a band, he had Joe Mathis, the old guitar player, Crazy Joe, and I was on the fiddle, and Louie. Kern's on the bass, and they had a good band, but we got the boys with all of them. We didn't care. Then we'd go over to McCool and play over, warm a glass of beer at the tavern, get a cold beer about all what it took. They'd play for a while, we played for a while, nice hard meat. Neil Burns took for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I'd seen him, a couple, 3 years ago, I was down there, and he came over there, him and his wife. He played some of the boys. With the boys, him and Bernard. But then he got sick. I don't worry that hard back now, but he went to trip. You know, Joe, there ain't a fella a living that I played with in my band 15 years ago. I played with the band that had the same bunch in for 35 or 40 years. Brothers, you know, sisters. Uh-huh. That's the way to have a band, if you can have one. I watched old Steve Dawson over there, he got a little band named Dick. When you played music back in my days, you wanted, if you had five in the band, you wanted all sitting at the table eating supper with you. Now say, boys, we're going. But, no, don't go, I've got the firm nominee, he'll be here, and the firm Kaiser, and the firm coming, we're going to Petersburg tonight. Class of them be there. I don't care how nice the boys are, they won't be there. The wife wanted to go, and she wanted to go to the show, and I had to go, and gonna be a heck if I didn't, well. So, if you're gonna keep a band together, you want somebody you can depend on.
Yes.
If you got a family, that's reason I like the family band.
Right.
Everybody got in the car and left together, and come back together.
Mm-hmm.
I've played music for 15 cents a night.
15 cents?
I'm gonna learn when I'm playing. This brother, you dance when you come up around 50, did you?
Uh-huh.
There's an old pavilion down there in the field, dies, and that dancing cap looks like a big umbrella that's flattened out. It was about 60 by 60, and it was built a great big tall locust tree that's cut the top of it and hooked the hip rafters on it, and then the rest of the rafters come out, you know, it looks like a big bungalow. Hardwood floor in, and then in the wintertime, he'd pour it up, and then he went up to Luke and danced with Jews. They had a lot of money. And in the wintertime, they put that dryer fell over and had a big stove in there, and they danced in there all winter. And we played down there for years, and all that, we called him, we called the figure. And it was 15 cents for the women to get in, and a quarter for the men. Didn't break them up, but I'll tell you then. 50 cents looks like a wagon wheel.
And you got 15 cents for it.
50 cents. We'd get. The night wasn't too bad.
A lot of people show up for that dance.
We had 75, an 80 couple in there. It didn't cost them nothing. They come from up the paper mill and the down come to come from every place. They were going to make fast good money, not like they're making nowadays. But what would a man, his wife, his girlfriend want to go to the dime and make 35, 40 cents? What would that amount to? Gas was 5 gallons for a dollar. Wasn't no drink. Wasn't no beer there. No man running when I knew beer because anybody in there was the boys from overcome the bootleggers. Name of Corbin, they'd bring some old bottle of open water down south, some of them crazy country boys. Never he seen him, he moved them out, don't come back anymore. Wouldn't be me with him.
Tommy couldn't stay.
You can't stay, we don't have no drinking in here. Joe, we ain't playing them, I'm talking a lot.
That's all right. It's all the same.
We had an old fuck. But they ain't a water hole. Lumber got her own land, walked in the harsh worker. And he right over when you come down around the 50 on that bridge over there, he had a little place called Elbow Meadow down the stream of water under there. He had a milk shed he didn't need right there. He lived on after Rogers Road. There's a whole light in that building tonight. And he'd make a moonshine in there. He drank all the time. And he'd come over just to love to hear stream music. And he sat there and old Master Dancing say, now listen, you don't get up on the floor and dance in a circle if you don't have a partner. Now you sit over there and said, we're glad for you to be in here. But don't get up and go to dance if it's your girl, because they've got a partner. All right, you say, and directing that, we're taking it with that stuff, and if she goes down good, and he get up on the floor and go dancing. We've done that a few times, and I can go to the old girl, right, sit him down, talk to him, and if you don't quit it, then you go. Oh, she don't do it anymore. So anyway, we had a thorn, it's something after no not tape, the name of Marty Rogers. He played the piano for him, he could play a fiddle too. He wanted to play that boy, he's older than us. He said, man, I said, boy, I'll beat the piano for you. And he's sitting there in the spring of the year, must have been along about last April or May, and coming into when the weather warm, they had to dry from around the board roll up. And there's coming from the south, and he got done, he said, did you smell that? He said, yeah. Said, a truckload of damn hogs went down the road. And why, there wasn't no truckload of hogs. He didn't see it. The old man pooped himself to dance. He had on his hair khaki butcher and the whole back end of it just black and white.
Oh, no.
Then he had to go home.
Then he had to go.
He drank a lot of cider and she worked on his back. Well, he didn't get mad, don't mind it. He told me, you're in bad shape. You got some more. But the old man Rogers said, I damn, there's a truckload of hogs went down Route 50. You see, right? Just tell us that. You can't tell the public.
Yeah, right. No, now we got it on tape.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, we can edit that.
No, I don't like it. I've never brought up Blackguard in public or swear or nothing like that, and Daddy wouldn't let me. Mind he'd come out of your end off if he heard me swear when I was a kid growing up. He said, you don't talk like that. And when I got to the service, I said, Bicep, I'd never been away from home but one night in my life. And as I was on the jury over Calgary on a murder case, and they couldn't decide it, and they put me in court in a hotel. Me and my brother now, I don't know why they put my brother Tom and me both on that case. And we seen it the same way. We didn't think the man did anything. He done wrong, but the man didn't mean to do it. Just run a tavern down the river. A couple of boys and a girlfriend were down there drinking and stole beer. And this here tavern sitting up on a kind of slow place up there about where your car is going down through there. And them boys, they got quit selling anything to drink because it's too drinking too much and gets a lot of stomach to drink. He told him, can't sell you any more drink, you better go home. No, he was going to drink anyway. No, he can't drink in there. Had to put him out, and after the clothes played down, they went up there, they'd gone in and take a meat cleaver and cut him up. He kept telling him, standing on the porch, he said, boys, get away from there now. I told you to go on home. He had a gun. Well, they wouldn't go, and he shot through the panel of the door. Door on like that, on there, you know. And he shot down to defeat to scare him. And I shot her right on down to the apartment. It gave her a right to chest and kill her. And the man didn't ever have the right to kill the girl, the man either. But they won't hang the man. My brother and me, I could have been me, I could have been anybody done that. The girl was dead, that's true. But my was a solid belief would weigh my brother too, that man didn't mean to kill that girl. But the girl was dead, that's why that was my attention. She's dead. We hung the jury on.
Everybody else wanted to convict him.
Well, they said that she had been killed. Well, that was true as of what could be. We're looking at it in an old-fashioned way. We say he didn't go to do it. Well, that didn't go in the court again.
Well, you hung the jury then.
Yeah, we did for that night, and we went the next day, and we seen there wasn't going to be no place. We talked with Laura now. So calmly, I said, guess we'll just have to let him go. I don't think he ever done anything. One penitentiary never hung him or nothing back in them days. But I had another case, this is crazy. The man had lost his mind. He'd been out there, what do you call it, out there? How Fort Clark was to keep working with him out there. To put him in when he lost his mind. And he got better. And he come back together. And he took another fit. When he was there, and we're taking back out. I know that name of that place. But I can't take it where you put you in when you lose your mind. They don't get something.
Weston?
Yeah. And the two fellas got in the car. They're going to take him back. But they both got on the front seat and just put this fella in the back seat. And just tonight, I would be or you would be. So he got one of them spells, and when he did, he just picked up and got before the chair in the car, around the neck, was going to choke him to death. He wouldn't let loose. He'd take a man's lost his mind. He's got all kinds of strength. Now the other person would run the car over the bank and kill the man in the back seat. Well, the man couldn't help but drive the car, but he couldn't steer the car. The man hadn't been soaked and wouldn't let loose. We hung the jury all night. Why didn't one of them ride back there with him? And I know the man was subject to going, taking a fit, losing his mind, and all that. Up there in front of the table, never looking back, and he picked up all feet and down. You want to play one?
No, go ahead. Unless you want me to.
No, I can't play today. I'll try. There's an old tune Jerry liked real well. I guess it's 200 years old and no music to it, called Pay Me Up 11 Pennies. You ever hear?
Pay Me Up 11.
Play it any night for 12 or anything, nothing too soon. They wouldn't have some fun. They'd get the place and said, oh, Mr. Blackburn, play a few more.
We just got well acquainted, getting on the good time. Well, he said, if it makes me up a quarter, he said, I'll fill this room so full of music you won't hear, you don't hear it. And he said, he played that tune. Pay me up 11 pence.
11
pence. Pay me up 11 pence. He spoke of them about pence. 11 pence. So that was one of the old tunes, and no music to it, no plays. And my Uncle Chud, he had the tune. He kept that thing for years, and he just was the folks we tried to learn. We learned to play it. Now that's just when the old tune fell down through the years. Another old tune I played for Jerry called the Davy Jones tune.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's got a long time to it there. Jesus Christ. It's G.
Telephone in my hand. I started studying the Army telephone 13 weeks in Camp Crowder, Missouri. I went over there, they put me out on the line crew. Well, up there, you know, you've been in Newton, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Every day looks a lot like it did this morning. Most of them, like a few. And I had glasses. And I was working on the ground, I saw the rings up to the boys, put them on the table, you know, hanging the cables on the wire. And this water just tripped over my glasses. All the time, just kept falling, I couldn't see. I get the awful headaches every scene, you know, and I keep telling boys, I can't imagine what's giving me this headache. Wouldn't be looking up, but I didn't think, but there's so much water on the lens of the glasses, it just changed the vision of them. So one day at dinner time, I heard the name of, Sergeant Quinn, a big, big black little boy. Hey, Deacon, you come from my office here. He doesn't even know what to talk to you. Call me the Deacon. Well, I never swore, I never drank, and everybody got to call me the Deacon. So I went up and said, well, I've got another job for you, and said, I think you'll like it. Said, I want you to go work in a telephone office. I said, well, that's fine, I can't do nothing. I can't keep books, I'm just an old farm boy. Well, I ain't gonna have to keep books. You just sit over there and answer the telephone, and of course, the thing went all underground cable, and they hadn't got it finished. Captain, he called another in the cabin, on the number of cable, so down the basement, I was down looking at the number of the cable. I just sat over there for a year before they ever opened it. And then I got the job of being the utility man, keeping the equipment clean and, I can't think of all that stuff. And, of course, I carried the keys to the telephone exchange. And I know this old captain. he's an electrical engineer from over in Indiana. Anyway, he'd say, Deacon, you've got the key to that place, and when you leave there tonight, you bring the key with you. Now, these here missing men and girls, they're operating the switchboard. We had to hire two girls or two men for every man we had on the island. Greatest thing you ever seen is a waste of money. We'd be going down there driving a truck, there'd be a Newfoundlander driving a truck, a staff sergeant sitting beside of it. I'd go back in the next morning, and I like the girls, it's good. Tomorrow I wish I knew what them girls did. They called the girls down in St. John's, and they didn't go to school to play ball. They went to learn. They could spell the damn names as long as that fiddle blow. You got perfect names. And I kept looking, I said, girls, is anybody in here last night? I said, I hate to ask you, I've got to. I said, the ink, the cream cut walls, the ink on the wall. Nobody in here, Deacon. I said, where's this ink on the wall? And one of the hall says, Bill Hinger, Captain Hinger, come up to see the girl what the good for to do a minute. They got us cutting up and showed the pen against the wall. And I said, oh, he's joking. I'm going to have to tell the captain, our captain. Well, I've got the key to the place, and he wants to know how this ink gets on the wall. I'm in charge of it, and I've got to tell him that. I said, I hate to do it. Oh, yep, yeah, I said, well, he wants to know, and I've got the key. He wants to know who's been in there. I mean, Newfoundland had a lot of waterfront to it, and come from Iceland and Greenland down through there. They're racing German, they're going off from there. So I had to tell him, I said, Captain, I'm going to have to say, but there's somebody up in there tonight. He said, I'll get in, you got the key. I said, they let him in, locked me inside. Yeah, I said, I've talked to him. I ain't never done nothing with her, never fought her. I'd have had you did. It's a good girl. My Lord, you've got a responsibility. Anyway, I've had this girl call me. She said, Mr. Welch, I've got a job for you. I said, what is it? She said, playing the fiddle. Oh, playing the fiddle. Oh, yes, you do. She said, it's on your record when you come to the service. Well, I know I get to tell them. I was over 4 days high. If I asked them, what did you do for recreation on the farm, you boys and girls? I said, well, you went out to take the square dances on Saturday night.